into this idea of spiritual gifts. And we looked there at these first three verses. I'm going to read them and then we're going to move on because we looked at these last week. We're going to take it down a little bit further even later, but not today. But I want to just read these again because I want to jump into 1 Corinthians. So here Paul says, having then gifts. Now remember, the idea of gifts is the word charismata. And what it means is a grace, something, a favor or a kindness that God does in our lives that enables or empowers, actually both, to do the will, the work that he has called us to do. Okay, so that's what the idea of gifts is meant. That's where I said the word gifts. I would prefer that it were translated empowerment or enablement because it would get the idea of gifts out of here. Well, my gift's better than yours, kind of thing. And that's the problem that we've had. We're going to be talking a little bit more about that here in a minute. So having then gifts that differ, notice, not everybody has the same gift. That's a good thing. Differing gifts, according to the grace that is given to us, then let us use them. And there we talked about all these. Remember, prophecy is not telling the future. It is proclaiming God's word. If it's prophecy, if it's proclaiming God's word, then proclaim God's word in proportion to your faith. If it's ministry, that is to serve one another. If it's service, then let us use it in our service. If it's teaching, communicating truth in an understanding way, then communicate that truth in a way that's understandable. If it's exhorting to lift up another person, well then lift up. Encourage. If it's to give, whether financially, time-wise, just of yourself, giving does not mean finances. It doesn't always mean that. We got to get that out. Well, then do it with liberally. Just do it with the freedom to do as God leads. And if you lead, that is to govern, then do it with diligence. Do it with meaning and with intent. Okay? And he who shows mercy, all right, those people that are compassionate and kind, then you need to do that with cheerfulness. So that you don't look like Mopey Joe running around, right? The droopy lip syndrome kind of thing. So you see, that sets the stage. Now, what I want to do this morning is I want to take a sort of a journey and understand this. Because I shared with you guys last week that my experience in 25 plus years of ministry, I'm telling you, I have repeatedly seen spiritual gifts become a problem within the body of Christ. So much so that people actually will break away from the fellowship. And we don't need to get into all that again. But trust me, most of you may have already experienced this and already understand. Now, I shared a little bit as to why that happens last week, because there are those that say, well, those gifts were only for a certain period of time. So what? The ministry of the Holy Spirit was only for a spirit of... No, these are spiritual gifts. They're not about what the person is doing. They're about the work that God is doing in that person. And you're on thin ice, if you ask me, if you say that those things have ceased. But anyway, that's for another time. So, but the other conflict is that, well, you know, this battle of who has and who doesn't have. Well, if you have this particular gift, well, then it's clear that you're a man or a woman of great faith, because God only gives those types of gifts to people of great faith. Really? I just read someplace in here it was based on God's giving in proportion to those people's faith. So it has nothing, it's all about God. It always has been. But we've turned it and made it about, not about God, but about the gift. See, and that's our problem. And so there's this tug of war that's gone on. In particular now, and you need to understand this because this is vital. Only in the American church. You don't see this anywhere else. And you don't see it throughout church history. It was not a problem. People understood what this meant. It was when the church took root in America and these guys broke off as Baptists and those guys broke off as Lutherans and those guys broke off as Methodists. Now, it started in England, but the type of stuff we're talking about now, it was the American mindset that really created the problems for here. And so this has just got to be out of control. And the reason? Because everybody focuses on the gifts. Oh, they'll throw passages at you like we just read here in Romans chapter 12. They say, well, Romans 12 says, and then the other guy says, no, but what 1 Corinthians says is, or no, it's not even Romans 12 or 1 Corinthians 12, it's Ephesians chapter 4, or it's 1 Peter chapter 4. And everybody's got their favorite passage about spiritual gifts, and they like to throw them at you upside the head, right? Hoping that they're going to get your attention so that you see things their way. That's the attempt. But you see, that's not how it works. How it works is that God says, in my body in Mesquite, Nevada, this is what I will do to make it the most efficient that it can be. And the way we're going to understand that is not by focusing on the gifts. The wrong verses, in my humble opinion, are always used to support these things. And these are the verses. You read Romans 12. Let me back up. Oh, you didn't see that. Close your eyes. Oh, there we go. The problem is that the focus is on all of the passages about gifts and the failure to understand the verses that come before those. For an example, having then gifts differing, that tells us that they're different. So if that's true, then how can you say that one person's gift is for one that's more faithful than another one, you see? And we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 12 here in a minute. So this is how this is supposed to work. God has laid it out clearly for us. So before we actually dive in and see those things, starting with that slide that no one saw, right? Before we do that, let's pray and ask God to bless that. Father, we are so grateful. And what Kenny read, Lord, out of the New Testament there, and Paul's encouragement that's so different for us today than it was in the past. And Lord, we understand these things, and yet, though we may not be wrapped around the axle with Judaism and all of the tabernacle sacrifices and all of the other stuff, Lord, nevertheless, we seem to be able to, or not be able to, break away from some religious experience. And though it's nice to point fingers at other people, Lord, we still to this day create our own traditions. We create our own ceremonies. We create our own systems that from our perspectives are the only ones right. And we're not doing anything different than the priests of those of so long ago did, Lord. And they missed the whole point. May we get back to your word. And as Paul said, enough of the fiery mountain stuff. It's wonderful to know that it's there, but that's not the thing that guides us. It's grace, not law, that light guides us. And though we have this tendency to say, well, we're not under the law, and then we sit around and make our lists of our do's and our don'ts and create our own laws. What a tragedy, Lord. So as we approach the scripture here this morning, may we come to understand that it isn't about any of these things for the church, for the body of Christ, Lord. It's based on who you are and how you, as Paul has already told us, Lord, have proportioned faith to each of us individually so that our function within our own specific realm can affect all of the others, and we can work together and be a healthy, active, vibrant fellowship of believers, Lord, which the scripture calls the body of Christ. So open our eyes, Lord. Help us to see these things. Help us to understand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so spiritual gifts, what are they? We got to understand these things, okay? The first thing I want to do. Oh, you've seen this before, haven't you? First thing you need to understand is they're supernatural. Now you think, well, that's obvious. They're called spiritual gifts. Not obvious to many. Many think that this is a reward because they've attained a certain level on the faith scale. Trust me, I've dealt with these people. Well, if I would just stay, you know, because I've been faithful to do, fill in the blank, then God has gifted me this. It's like a sort of this reward system, right? If you do these certain things, then God says, here, you can have this gift now, you know. And if you come a little further, I'll give you that one. And everybody's going, ooh, I really want that one. You see? And so there's this thing. So we need to understand. We say spiritual gifts, but we never really understand the concept of the spirit that's behind the gift. So they're supernatural. And here's the first thing that you need to understand. That it's God that is the source. And 1 Corinthians 12:6 tells us that it's God that works in all. In all. So he's working all of the gifts in all of his people. It starts and ends with him, not us. And how we've taken this position of whatever it is you want to call it, it's just ridiculous. It is so clear that it's God that it's at the source of these things. Now notice that he works. That's the word aniga and nergon, sorry. We get energy from it. It's God that is behind all of this. Notice it's not some, it's all. So God is working behind all of this for the benefit of all. Okay? But it's also because God is sovereign. He chooses the gift that you and I, or this enablement that you and I have, not us. Well, I don't want that gift. I want so-and-so. You sound like a bunch of stinking two-year-olds running around. You know, the guy got the bigger car. I want the bigger car. I don't want the small little car. Even though the small car squeaks and rattles and hums. You see, and that's the thing. We always want to say, well, you know, I don't really like my gift. And then, of course, there's people that say, well, I don't have any gift. The only way you don't have a gift in the body of church is if you don't have a pulse. Because it's from God. Hello? Everyone has a gift. Everybody's enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit to do what He has asked you to do. Stop sniveling. The 11th commandment, right? Thou shalt not snivel. God is sovereign. He does as He chooses. That's what sovereignty means. It means He is God and we aren't. So He determines. These things are from a supernatural perspective. But God gives us the supernatural ability or enablement to function within the physical so that the physical is drawn to God. Remember what we said before? That's why God has given us these gifts. For other people, not for us. So that He is the one that is glorified. Not the possessor of the gift. It's just unbelievable how mixed up this gets. It sounds so simple, but I'm telling you, this has destroyed churches. It has destroyed them. There were still books, I could take you to any bookstore, and there are on both sides of the aisle that are fighting over this dumb issue. It's insane. And we're boxing each other's ears and stuff while the world is lost, and we keep reading how Christians are being slaughtered over there in Egypt and India and everywhere else today. And everybody, nobody pays mind because, oh, we're going to fight over here over whether the gifts are still active or not. I mean, what a bunch of nonsense. Boy, that's aggravating. Holy cow. All right, anyway. Cleaned that up, didn't I? Most of you that know me know that. So they're supernatural, but they're also specific. They're specific, and that means that we're to understand them. Notice what Paul says at the beginning of 1 Corinthians 12. I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be able to sit there and say, I don't know anything about spiritual gifts. And Paul is going to explain that. Now, that's the first verse where we're going to go here in just a second. Secondly, they're to be used. They're not to be understood and said, oh, okay, I understand that, and then put this on the shelf and never take advantage of what it is that God has provided. That's insane. People do it all the time, though. No, we get this thing that we always want, and then it sits, right? But so they're to be understood, they're also to be used. And of course, in Paul, in our verses we just read, said, let us use them. Notice plural. There's a multitude of these things, or a group, I should say. And we're going to clarify that in just a second. So they're supernatural, they're specific, but they're also for service. Again, coming back to the concept. The idea of the spiritual gifts is that we might use them for the benefit of others and for the glory of our God. And if we ever reverse those two and get ourselves in there, then we've got a problem. And that, again, goes back. So therefore, the benefit of all. 1 Corinthians 12, for the profit is how Paul says it there. It's for the profit. This profit's the body of Christ. Because when we're each functioning with this gift that God has given, we're like that well-oiled machine. That's how God intended it to be. But it's also for the service of all. Notice, to minister to one another. Again, it's interesting. I don't know if you've ever done this before, but you might want to check this out. Go through the scripture in the New Testament and study all of the one another's. It's really interesting to see. Because you know what you find out when you do a study like that? That you're really not very significant from a scriptural perspective. Everyone else is. And you're to be a minister to those people as Christ ministered to us. But see, we've got, again, the cart before the horse, and we think that we're the ones that are significant. No, no. It's never been about us. It's always about others. There are so many places in the New Testament where it talks about having the other person's best, regardless of what it costs you. Regardless of what kind of time it takes. It's always about others. If you want to find happiness in your relationship with Jesus Christ, put others first. If you're not doing that, then stop sniveling to me about why you're having a difficult time in your life. When you're the king and think you should be serviced or queen, then there's problems. So they're supernatural, they're specific, and they are for service. Now watch this. This is really interesting. 1 Corinthians 12, here's where I told you. If you got your finger in there, flip. If you're at Romans, turn right a few pages, okay? I don't have a lot of time to develop this idea, but the church at Corinth, which is in what we know today as Greece, Paul had gone there and had planted a church, and that church just went nuts. It grew like crazy, and it was, you know, it was in a struggle with Greek mythology and Greek philosophy and all of these other things. It was a great contrast, but the church grew incredibly. but because it was within that culture of philosophy and mythology and all of this other stuff, the church developed a whole bunch of really wacky problems. Okay, I mean, we're talking whacked out. The church at Corinth was, man, it was a mess. It was a mess. And they had all kinds of issues. Moral issues in the church. They had believers taking other believers to the law and suing them. They were partying during communion, which is why I always read 1 Corinthians 11 when we do communion, because they were saying during their communion service, "Ah, no, you know what? Let's not eat at home tonight, honey. We got communion at the church, so there's no reason to make bread. Let's just go and eat the bread at the church." That's what they were saying. And then they would go and they would say, "Oh, wow, look at all the free wine. Party time." Right? Bread and wine, Paul wrote. And so all of these things were happening in church. That and a lot more, believe me. So the people in the church, those that were shocked by this, they wrote a letter to Paul. And they said, "Paul, what do we do about this?" Because Paul was no longer in Corinthians, or in Corinth, sorry. And so they sent this letter to Paul. They said, "Look, this is, what do we do about this in the church? And what do we do about this in the church? And what do we do about that?" And so Paul writes back what we call 1 Corinthians, which is actually a second letter. But nevertheless, it's what we know as 1 Corinthians. And he takes these things and he breaks them down. And if you study Corinthians, you can break it down by now concerning. Because Paul breaks all of these things down. Now concerning this, or now concerning that. Now concerning more immorality in the church. Now concerning those who would judge one another in the church. Now concerning those who would take each other to law. In the church. Now concerning. He comes to verse chapter 12, and obviously there was a letter that, in that letter, the people said, "Listen, we're being told that the Spirit is speaking through these people. And they're claiming that this is a work of God. But what we're hearing is that some of those people will be under this spell, under this trance, they're cursing Christ. But we're being told that's the Spirit of God." And then there were others who were just taking advantage of all of these things and they're misusing these gifts. What do we do about this? Paul writes, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts." Okay? And then he says in verse 2, we don't have it here, but basically what he tells them in verse 2 of chapter 12 is, "Listen, you guys were once," you got to remember this, Corinthian church, "you guys were once wrapped up in all of that idol worship and mythology and all that stuff because you live in a Greek city." Okay? It's under Rome's control, but it's a Greek city. And so you got to remember that what's happening within the church comes because of that influence before these people became part of the church. Okay? Does that make sense? So Paul warns them in verse 2, and he says, "Listen, you once served these dumb idols." He literally calls them dumb. Now, we know what dumb means. It means they can't speak. So what's the question? Spiritual gifts. And the key one is tongues, a speech thing. So Paul says, "Now remember the idols. They're dumb." So he's setting the course. You see where he's going with this. And then in verse 3, and he says, "Listen, I'm here to tell you that there's no person under," and this is Rick paraphrase, but this is what he's saying, "there's no person who was under the spiritual influence of God who can say that Christ is accursed." So if that's happening, that is not of God, and it is certainly not of the Spirit. That's what Paul is saying. Because only those who are in the Spirit can admit that Jesus is Lord. Now, you can say it, okay, but meaning it is something else. Believe me, Lucifer calls Jesus Lord. But at this point, it means very little to him. Oh, it will in the future. But at this point, not so much. So he's not talking about just a statement. Anybody can make that statement. So, but what Paul's talking about is that statement that's backed up by action. Okay, so that's how it goes. Now, when he gets to verse 1 concerning the spiritual gifts, now notice how he starts. These verses right here, you need to mark them in your Bible. Because if you will understand what's being said here, you will have no problem with this nonsense of spiritual gifts. Charismania versus charismatic. You won't have any problems of hyper-Pentecostal versus legalism. You won't. You'll understand gifts in the light of the Scripture. That's why God gave us the Scripture. And everybody focuses on the gifts that are following these verses, and the verses we already saw in Romans 12, and the verses we see in Ephesians 4, and the verses we see in 1 Peter, and all of these verses that talk about the gifts, and they focus on the gifts, but they ignore these verses. To their own peril, I would say. So if you want to understand the spiritual gifts that follow these verses, then you need to pretty much understand these verses. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to take some time here this morning. Now remember, there's a ton of stuff here. I'm trying to just, for the sake of time, especially now my limited time, trying to break them down and just get to the point. Because I have a problem getting to the point. Which is why I'm having problem getting back to the point right now. So Paul is going to break this down. Now watch what happens, because this is key to all of this. There are, in verse 4, after having made those statements, there are diversities, in the New King James it says. Some of your versions may say differences or varieties, whatever. You'll see where that's going here in a minute. There are diversities of gifts. Now notice the word gifts. But it's the same Spirit, Paul says. There may be a variety of gifts, whatever these are. We're going to look at these in a few minutes, because it's a different word than the next one. So whatever those things are, Paul says, There's a bunch of those things. There's a group of them, a category, whatever you want to call it. But it's the same Spirit. So regardless of the variableness or the variety of these particular type of gifts, it's the Spirit that's behind it all. And then in verse 5, and there are differences of ministries, whatever that is. Notice, but the same Lord. And then verse 6, and there are also diversities of activities. But it is the same God who works all in all. Now, what have we seen? Verse 4, Spirit. Verse 5, Lord. Verse 6, God. We see the Trinity at work. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But the manifestation is given to each one, notice, for the profit of all. Now, I want you to notice something before we move on. Notice I've got them bracketed. Diversities, differences, diversities. All of those you can see down there are the diaresis. That's the Greek word for this, and it simply means varieties. The different English words are translating a single Greek word. Now that's important to understand, because to me they should have stayed with one or the other. If you want to say diversities, fine, then stay with diversities. If you want to use differences, fine, stay with differences. If you want to use varieties, because Peter used, they translated it as varieties. And it just gets mumble jumble, because it gives the impression in the English that there's something going on here, that there's a sort of a disconnect. But when you see what's really going on, there is no disconnect. Paul is saying there's a variety of each of these categories of gifts, ministries, activities, and manifestation. But they're all of their source is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, so that's really important. So that's the first stop. Now let's take a look at these in verse 4. Here we go. There are a diversities, remember variety now, of gifts, but the same Lord. What is gifts? Because in the English, here's our problem. Well, it appears to be this thing that God has just given you. And because we give gifts and we get gifts at Christmas and birthdays and all that stuff, we tend to think of it in that light. But that is not the point. It's not like getting a new truck for Christmas. By the way, Marie, I could use a new truck for Christmas. But anyway, but you see the point? This is because, so that's why I have issues with that. But that word is charismation, is how you would say that, okay? And it means spiritual enablement. In other words, again, who you are and what you do has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with the one who empowers you or enables you. Spiritual enablement or empowerment based on grace, God's favor, and God's kindness. This spiritual ability, we'll just call it that, is a outflow of God being gracious and being favorable and kind to us. That's what it's talking about. So how would we put this in? So in verse 4, we see, look, this is the basic gift that's given to each believer. In other words, this is what makes us who we are. We all possess one of these, okay? The basic gift given to each believer by God, which, now notice, motivates us to execute. So in other words, it's that motivation, the very sheer fact that it motivates, causes us to act, execute in the sense of acting out, okay? Us to execute service to Christ. Notice now, within and without the church, as the Spirit of God determines. It's not up to us. This was really hard for me. I must have changed the way I was trying to define this a thousand times. And actually, thank God that I got it down to four lines, because initially it was like 15 lines, and I'm thinking, dude, you're supposed to start getting to the point. So I know that's kind of wacky anyways, but the bottom line, what I'm trying to say here, is that word gifts is speaking specifically about that which is part of the person and motivates that person to do what God has asked them to do as God directs. Okay? So it's not up to us. This is, as you can see at the bottom, these are gifts or enablements, abilities, whatever you want to call it, of motivation and foundation. It's who we are. Okay? Now we're going to talk about, notice that he says there are many of these, variety of them. There are diversities. So we don't all have the same thing that motivates us. Now, last week, I gave the example of the guy spilling the water walking down the carpet, right? And immediately, and some of you came up to me afterwards and were telling me, wow, I know what I would have said or what I would have done. And some of you, we need to talk. Because there were those of you that said, I just went, an idiot. No, but anyway, so that's the point. Who you are at the core of your being, that's what's being described here. And each of us is different in that sense, okay? And we're going to look at these later and stuff, but so for now, just understand. Now, you find those gifts in those passages. Our passage in Romans chapter 12. These are gifts that motivate, because Paul is dealing with the church who's never had an apostle to set the course. So he's establishing who they are, based on the proportion of faith that God has given them to move the church forward as the church accomplishes the Lord's purposes in Rome and of course, as the church begins to expand. In 1 Peter's writing to all of the churches of what we would know today as Syria and Iran, and he's writing to those churches and he's talking to them about that they have a gift. You each have a gift, and he makes it singular there. But he's talking to a multitude of people. So the A makes it one of many, right? So that's what's going on. So that's what verse 4 is about. There are diversities of these gifts that move us to do what God has asked us to do. But there's more. Verse 5. There are differences. Now notice the same word differences, varieties. Now a different word is used of a spiritual enablement. Now the word ministries is used. Now notice how in verse 4 it was the same Spirit, because the Spirit is what makes us or gives us that relationship with God, right? When we're born again, God's Spirit takes up residence in us. So that which motivates us is from the Lord's Spirit within us. But now notice we've moved from just that which motivates to now actually ministering, serving one another. Who better to explain that than the person of Christ, the Lord himself, who came not to be served, he taught us in Mark chapter 10. I didn't come to be served, Jesus said. I came to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. Well, the ultimate service. So notice how we've moved from the Spirit to the Lord, but notice the difference again in gifts and ministries. Now this is the word diakonion, is how you would say that, ministries. And this is defined as service or administration. In other words, it's working out who you are as a person. This is what moves you forward. Now notice, it's the expression of what motivates us. Remember, what motivates us gets us to move. How we move is what's being described here. Okay? It's the expression of what motivates us. Now notice this, because this is significant. As the Lord leads in service to him. So this initiates when we're moved by the motivation, and then we step out and we want to serve. The first thing that God wants us to understand is our service is ultimately to him. Okay? And that service to him will affect the body of Christ. Now there's another word that comes in verse 6. Oh, I didn't separate these. Verse 6, and there are also, again, there's our word diversity, so there's another variety of activities, okay? But it gets the same God. Now, activities Energimaton is how you say that. We, of course, get energy from that. And it means working or operation. Okay? It means something that's moving forward. So this is no longer an expression, but an exercise. This is now putting the rubber to the road. Okay? It's doing something now. This is the exercise of what motivates us. Not just the expression, but notice the change as the Lord leaves in service to who? To others. So verse 5 is God using that motivation gift for us to serve Him. It's upward in its nature, or vertical. This is to move outward, or horizontal. Because as we said in the get-go, that this God gave us these spirits to glorify Him, but to minister to others. Okay? So that's what's going on. Now you'll find these gifts. Now we're not going to look at all of these passages. There's too many. We will have, because many of you have asked me, actually taught all of this spiritual gift stuff way back, like the first, I want to say year we were at church. Way back when we were up on top over there where Living Waters is at now in front of Smith's. Now with this, people have been asking. I think it's probably time we'll do a special deal or something on this and go over these things on a different time rather than Sunday mornings, because it's kind of involved. It'd be good to have some interaction on this stuff. But anyway, but these are where these gifts are found. Now notice, whereas those others were gifts of motivation and foundation, these are of ministry now and function. Okay. This is taking who we are and putting it into practice, whether it's for the Lord or for others. Okay, and you'll find those in that last part, or first part, I'm sorry, of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. And then there's the other passage. You can see that. I don't need to read them all for you. Okay, now there's a third one. But the manifestation of the Spirit. Okay, so we've seen motivational abilities, that things that motivate us and make us move. Then those things outplay in our service to the Lord and to others. And now there's also manifestational gifts, gifts of manifestation. Okay? And this is what that word means. It's phanerosis. Okay? And it means to disclose, or a disclosure, or an exposure. And what it's talking about now is this is where God is seen for who He is. Now, as you can imagine, the manifestational gifts would be those of the ones that create the most problems for people, because these would be the gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, healings, and all of these other things. You see, what happens in those things, even though something is happening, if they're done in a biblical manner, it's God's glory that is exposed or disclosed. See? But again, because we have muddled the waters, what ends up happening is what we have done is, again, we have made that this person is speaking this language the key. It is not. It is not. It is what God is doing, and the reason that person is doing that, that someone has been healed. It's not about the healing. It's about the healer. See? And when it's the word of wisdom or the word of knowledge, when God just through His Spirit manifests, He gives somebody the ability to see through the nonsense. Word of wisdom. Now it's much deeper than that, but you get the idea. And the word of knowledge, when God supernaturally gives us the right words to say, because frankly, we never say the right words. We always let our tongue get in the way. What is that Bill says? I let my... How does that go? My eye tooth thing?
I get my tongue over my eye tooth and I can't see what I'm saying.
Yeah, there you go. Everybody hear that? You get your tongue hooked on your eye tooth so you can't see what you're saying. Right? Did I say that right?
You did good.
I did good. See there? That's an attaboy from Bill. That's hard to get. No, I'm just kidding. So you see, so now we've moved in from that which motivates us and how it motivates us to serve into now God's glory being on display. And the focus has been on these things. Oh, this person is speaking in tongues. Oh, look at that person can heal. And oh, wah, wah, wah. What's got lost in the shuffle? The God that has provided it all. You see, this is why churches break up. This is why there is such agony over this. Because they don't read 1 Corinthians 12, 4-7. They want to jump right into 8 and 11 and all of the other stuff and start talking about the gifts themselves without understanding that there are diversities of gifts. and that there are differences of ministries, and there is diversity in how God chooses to manifest. We miss all of that. And all of a sudden, the gift becomes the priority, and the giver is left aside. That's the problem. So the manifestation, this is the exposure or the revelation of God's power at work in us that motivates us to minister within and without the body. Now, what's interesting is a lot of times the manifestational gifts are used within the framework of the body. Or that's what we like to think, right? But most of the time, the manifestational gifts are to show those outside the body who God is. Remember Acts chapter 2? See, we like to focus on, this is particularly the area of the idea of tongues. We like to focus on the idea of tongues being functional within the home or in the privacy of our, you know, inner chamber, whatever you want to call it, or within the church. And yet, where does it appear in the scripture? Publicly. Publicly doing what? Proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, these people are on drugs. Well, I was going to say on drugs. These people are drunk, they were saying. Listen to them, they're babbling. No, Peter says. Everybody likes to point to Joel chapter 2 to support their concept of spiritual gifts and forgets all about what Peter said. No. What's happening here is exactly what Joel said. Want to understand what Joel meant? Acts chapter 2. That the outpouring of God's Spirit was God enabling His people to communicate truth to people that couldn't speak their language. He gave them the ability to do that. And they glorified God. And God added to the church as many as should be saved. 5,000! I've never had that successful of a teaching. No, I'm just kidding. I don't want that size of thing. No. No. Although, I bet they have killer progressive dinners. Anyway. But you see the point? And so the idea of manifestation is not about the person with the ability to manifest. It's with the Spirit that enables the person to manifest for the glory of God. A word of wisdom isn't so that you can sit there and tell somebody, Marie, pay attention. I'm just kidding. So that you can just say to somebody, well, I know this and you don't interrupt. No, this isn't about that. It's because that person needs to hear. And yet we take credit for it. Well, God has given us some supernatural ability to understand a situation that nobody else is getting. And we just think, well, am I really that much more intelligent than everyone else? No. You see, we've got this so mixed up, and it has just created so many problems. We're still dealing with it today. As a Calvary pastor, as I teach this stuff, I'm wondering how many guys, if they knew that I was teaching, would sit down and want to have words with me, which is okay. I'm fine with that. That's how bad this has gotten, and that's ridiculous. When did this become about different Calvary pastors or Baptist pastors or these other pastors or anybody else? I thought it was about the Word of God. Where did all that change? But there's still that side that you wonder, man, you know, when I put this out there, somebody hears this, I'm going to probably get a few calls. Yeah, it's okay. I'm not going to worry about it. It's created enough damage. I've seen the damage. I've been hurt by the damage that this causes. So we need to understand this, okay? So having said that, let's take a look at the sort of a breakdown in these. Actually, I'm going to finish early. I just want everyone to know.
It's not you, brother.
It's not me, exactly. I can't take credit for it. That's good, man. That's good. Right on. That's good. Oh, man. So the first types of gifts that we talked about were those that motivate. This is what makes us who we are. Everybody has one of these. Now, you have one primary gift. Let me point this out. And you say, well, I don't have all those other ones, but you're supposed to be Christ-like. So you start off with one, but Christ obviously is all, isn't he? And if we're going to be like Christ, then slowly but surely, as we grow and mature in our faith, each one of these become a part of us. But there's one that initiates that first step, okay? The baby step thing. So those are the motivational gifts. And you find these in Romans 12:6. Again, remember, this is what moves us. And Paul was writing these gifts, this list of gifts, to that church. And he was talking about the grace. Remember, there are gifts based on grace. Was our first group of motivation there in Corinthians. And he's given these because these people need to understand what it is that's going to move the church forward. Peter, we already talked about this, said the same thing. Now, here they are, and we already know this. We looked at these last week, so I don't want to get too much into it. Actually, we just looked at them this morning. Remember, prophecy, proclaiming truth. If God gives you the ability to proclaim truth and it has to do with the future, so be it. But that is not what prophecy is. It is not about telling the future. Stop listening to people that tell you it is, because they're wrong. They're wrong. It's just that simple. Prophecy, ministry, that of serving others, that of teaching others, clarifying truth, exhorting, giving, leading, mercy, okay? These are the gifts, and this is where they're located, okay? Then the second category is those gifts of ministry. When we're motivated to work out what we're doing, whether it's through expression or through, what was the other one? Exercise. As we do these things towards the Lord and towards others, these are the gifts that come out. And Paul lines these out for us. Apostles, prophets, evangelists. Now, apostles, remember, what an apostle is one specifically sent. That's all it means. It's a, we would call that a, basically a missionary today, or missionaries, an apostle. But there were only 12 that were sent specifically by the Lord. None of the rest of us qualify. But he's talking about apostles in their sense, but in the broader sense of the body of Christ. But there's also prophets, those who proclaim. Now notice, prophecy in motivation, prophets in ministry. It's the prophet prophesying. That's what's happening here, okay? And then, of course, there's evangelists. Now notice, one is specifically sent with the apostle. What is he sent with? To proclaim the truth. And as he proclaims the truth, he's delivering good news, evangelism. Evangel, good news, gospel. See how it works? That's why Paul very carefully says, first, there are apostles, those that are sent. Then, second, he says, there are those who are prophets. They're sent to proclaim the truth. Third, there are evangelists. What these people are doing now is, what is it they're proclaiming? Good news. That's why they're called evangelists. Right? We're evangelistic in our, I guess the way people would view us. Those evangelicals, right? What does that mean when they say that? Well, it's come to mean something that it never intentionally meant, but it means those who follow the gospel. So don't take that as a bad thing. Oh, you're just an evangelical. Yeah, actually I am. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. You just freak them right on out, man. So that's how, but did you see how that's going? And now notice, next, pastor and teacher. Because the word, the way it's constructed there, it's the pastor who teaches. So it's a communicating shepherd. Did you see that? Notice now. One is sent. He's sent to proclaim the God, proclaim the truth of God. That truth is the gospel. And when people come into the church, it's the pastor and teacher that teaches them. Isn't that cool? You see the structure? And then when that happens, then the manifestational side of things comes out, the healing in the spiritual sense. Well, it's not the manifestation yet, but there's a part of this that's ministerial. And then the helping or serving of one another, and then the governing of one another. So God starts with apostles to bring them into the church, and then when they're in the church, the rest is there. It's called ministry. That's how the body works. That's why these are called gifts of ministry. And they function, or they're very clearly function of the pastor teacher in particular from Ephesians chapter 4 to communicate truth in an understanding way, is to equip the saints, you, for the work of the ministry. Because if I'll do that as a pastor, then there will be those of you who will go out as apostles. And there will be those of you who will go out as prophets. And there will be those that go out as evangelists or healers or servers. My job is to prepare you to do that. That's why I sit back with my feet on my desk all the time and try to figure out ways to move, I was going to say manipulate, put you guys in position so I don't have to do it. No, you see the point, right? That's gifts of ministry. Again, what is gifts of ministry? To serve the Lord first, and then to serve others. And then, of course, manifestational gifts. And these are the ones that freak everybody out. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. We look at this list and you just go, my goodness, our God is amazing. You see, because if you're going to say one of the gifts have stopped, then you have to say all of them have stopped. Are you telling me God no longer does miracles? Are you kidding me? You need to come to Africa with me then. Holy smokes. or one of these other places. Miracles happen all the time. You don't see them very much in America because Americans, well, we don't believe in that kind of nonsense. I mean, after all, we're so smart, right? We got it all figured out. What a sad thing. We don't often see healing. But I guarantee you they see it in the third world. I guarantee it. On a daily basis. People given the ability to proclaim the word of God in a language that they do not understand. Are you telling me God has stopped that? You got to be kidding me. There were people all over this world, especially in the third world, who've never heard the name of Jesus Christ. They cannot read one lick. They're completely illiterate. And if God tells you, dude, I want you to go to those people. But what am I supposed to do? They don't read. Don't worry about that. I'll handle that. You're telling me God is not going to equip that person to minister to the gospel of Jesus Christ to those people? Are you insane? Of course he is. Oh, no, that stopped when we got the Bible. Really? Then how do you proclaim the Bible to people who've never heard of the Bible, couldn't read the Bible even if they had, if people are not equipped to do this in a foreign country, in a language that they cannot communicate? God stopped that? So it was okay and God had mercy on the people of Acts chapter 2 in the days of Jerusalem? But 2,000 years later, because we now have the written word of God, he no longer does that? Well, that all sounds good as long as you can read the word of God. But what if you're one that can't? See, boy, be careful now. Be careful. If that's what you think, you're treading on thin ice. And then somebody to interpret that tongue. And then there's that word of wisdom that we talked about. And, what a word of knowledge is in there. I missed one. Sorry about that. And then, of course, faith. And the idea of faith here is to just the absolute ability to manifest an unbelievable faith in God. And there are those people. And thank God for them. Thank God for them. Those that heal and those that discern. That God has given the ability to see things for what they really are without all the haze that the rest of us tend to see. So I'll use myself. Here's, oh crud, don't, you didn't see that, you didn't see that. Keep pushing the wrong dang button. Man, I'll use myself and show you how this works. Now remember, I shared last week, mercy, this is what motivates me. Again, this is not the gift that most guys want. Because this means you're going to cry at a chick flick. That's not a good thing for a guy. You know, you're a little twig, you're sticky, kind of like a geek squad looking guy. That's okay. But when you look like this, not a good thing to snivel. At a movie. Okay, but anyway, these are people that are... Okay, so because this is what moves me, and always has, and I shared with you all the stuff I did last week. Come on, back here. This causes me to really be concerned about people, and so it causes me to do basically all of these things, but primarily it makes me function in this role. Because it just kills me. Literally breaks my heart that someone does not understand the truth. It just kills me. Or that I may communicate it in a way that people don't understand. And that's why I take so long in my messages. Just kidding. So that, now obviously it plays out in many others, but I'm just showing you a path how this works. So what motivates me causes me to serve the Lord and this church in this area, and pretty much in all, you know, many of these areas. And then, because that ministry, at times, God has worked these things in and through me as well, as he manifests his glory as I go out in ministry within the body or without. You see how it works? Now, you could be different. Now, this is 100 different paths. Now, again, I'm learning to be more like Christ. Slowly, I admit, but surely. So eventually, all of these things now are becoming a part of my life. But it's this that makes me who I am. Okay? And then that's showing itself primarily here, but also, obviously, these things have showed up as well. And then, so you can draw little arrows and, you know, all of it. But you get the idea, right? Now, it's going to be different for you. That's the way it's supposed to be. Not all of you are going to have this gift with that particular move. Some of you may be mercy and be moved to evangelize because your heart breaks for the lost. Mine breaks for the lost too. But as a teacher, I'm concerned about the flock that God has placed me in care of. You see? But you may be moved by mercy but have a heart for the lost. And God bless you. Get out there, man. Or you may be, well, you know, you get the idea, okay? And then that's how this all works. I said I was going to finish. Application. Last slide. Thank you. Thank you. Everyone turn around. Look at that clock. Application. When we execute service to one another on the basis of what motivates us, then two things happen. We express and we exercise the gifts of ministry to the Lord as well as to others. And then the Holy Spirit determines the exposition or the outpouring. The exposition means to expose. Okay, remember exposure. The Holy Spirit determines the exposition of that service through the gifts of manifestation. Now, here's the interesting thing. The manifestational gifts are the ones that we don't see them all the time. Okay? There's constantly service, and we're constantly being motivated. But God chooses the time when manifestational gifts. Now, here's the thing, and I can't say this enough. It is the Spirit, the giver or the enabler, who is the focal point, not the gift. We cannot stress that enough. So if you have some ability to do something that really helps the body of Christ, marvel in the fact that God is using you to do that, not that you are able to do that. Amen? Amen. That's where it comes from. So it's interesting how God calls us into a relationship with Him. He places us within a body of believers, this particular body of believers, which we call Calvary Chapel Mesquite, and then He gives everybody, a specific ability to function within that fellowship, so as we minister to Him and then to others as well. And if He chooses to manifest His glory in the midst of all of that as a group or as an individual, then praise be to God. That's how it works. If we would understand this, we would not have the problems in the church that we have. Amen? So let's thank God for what He has done, because all of these things are of the same Spirit, the same God, and the same Lord. And He wants us to use them for the profit and the benefit of all, in the church, outside the church. Amen? Amen. All right, let's stand and close in a word of prayer. Don't forget, tonight, be here at 4:30. Okay? If I have to stop at 10:30, you got to be here at 4:30. Okay? And I don't know what list I'm on, but I'd like to encourage wherever I'm going for desserts to be well equipped. I said I wasn't supposed to do that, huh? All right. Well, Father, we are so grateful, Lord, for Your word and for the truth and what it means to us. Now, Lord, maybe You be honored and glorified as Your body here in Mesquite functions to bring You honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.